Lecture 15, Antietam.
In August and September 1862, while Braxton Bragg and Kirby Smith marched their armies into Kentucky, major military events also were transpiring in Virginia and Maryland. This lecture will assess the movements and battles in the Eastern Theater during the late summer and early autumn of 1862. We'll look at the arrival in Virginia and activities of Union General John Pope. We'll look at the campaign and battle of Second Manassas, or Bull Run, which took place in late August. We'll assess Lee's decision to strike north across the Potomac after the Battle of Second Manassas. Then we'll look at the Antietam campaign and the Battle of Antietam. And we'll finish by assessing the impact of the 1862 Maryland campaign on the broader framework of the war. Let's start with John Pope and his arrival in Virginia. Although important military events were unfolding in the West, as usual, the Northern public and foreign observers, and I would think that a majority of the Confederate people focused most on Virginia. They wondered what was going to happen in Virginia. That was a situation, as we've noted earlier, that bothered Lincoln tremendously. Lincoln wished that people would focus more on the West because that's where all the good news had been happening for the North. I mentioned the letter he wrote to the French diplomat after the 7 days, complaining about the fact that things in Virginia seemed to overshadow events everywhere else, but nonetheless, that's the way it was. And so there'd be a great deal of attention paid to what happened with John Pope and his army in Virginia. In mid-July 1862, Pope moved this army, again, made up of the old commands of Fremont and Banks and McDowell, moved this army, which was about 50,000 strong, toward Gordonsville in central Virginia. There he would be able to menace key railroads in Virginia, the Orange and Alexandria Railroad and the Virginia Central Railroad. The Virginia Central ran over into the Shenandoah Valley and was a principal artery bringing supplies to the Confederate Army defending Richmond. He'd be able to perhaps interrupt the movement of those supplies if he could gain control of the Virginia Central. He also hoped to get into a position where he would menace Robert E. Lee's western flank. Lee still watching McClellan below Richmond. Pope would be out menacing his western and northwestern flank. Pope was a West Pointer. He'd been born into a prominent family in Kentucky, then gone to West Point. He was a collateral descendant of George Washington. Perhaps more important for his military career during the early part of the Civil War, he was also connected by marriage to the family of Mary Todd Lincoln, a connection that certainly didn't hurt his early rise to prominence. He had served effectively in the Mexican War, and he was commissioned a brigadier general soon after the firing on Fort Sumter. His early war service was in the West under Halleck, and he had won some successes in campaigning along the Mississippi River. He was part of that group of Western officers who advanced as Halleck advanced in the wake of all those Union successes out there. He was brought east to try to see if he could change the strategic balance in the state. McClellan wasn't getting the job done. Perhaps John Pope, a man who'd been successful in the West, would be able to do so. Soon after he arrived in Virginia, he began to make statements that revealed him to be, in the eyes of many, even in his own army, a very arrogant man and a braggart. He announced to his new troops that he came from the West, where he said, "We have always seen the backs of our enemies," a calculated snub to the Eastern troops who had retreated on more than one occasion. He said he didn't care about defensive lines or avenues of retreat because it was going to be the rebels who would be retreating, not the Federals. He said, "Let them worry about those kinds of things." More important than these statements he made was the fact that Pope brought a tougher kind of war to Virginia. He anticipates the direction the war was going to go in a broader sense. He was a Republican, unlike most of the generals in the East. He was attuned, well attuned to what the Republicans in Congress wanted to do. He promised to confiscate all rebel property. He said, "I'm going to execute guerrillas. I'm going to arrest citizens who aid guerrillas. I'm going to drive out of Union lines all citizens who aren't loyal to the United States." He was going to bring the kind of war that tough radical Republicans and others in the North wanted to see taken to the South, make the rebels feel the pain of their decision to be traitors to the Union.